Good evening. My name's Bernie. And is Jock not here tonight? Oh, missing Jock. We have too many Jocks, first of all. No, not my faithful Jock. Jock Ruiz. Jock's in Joburg, yes. He's in Joburg. Now, Jock Ruiz has been called up to Johannesburg, and he's making the massive sacrifice of going up, and truly believe it's from God. We had dinner with him the other day, and it's so amazing when God is working in someone's life, and you can just see God at hand. Can I start by asking, last week we were very few people, so I just need to know where we're at. How many of you have either listened to the sermon or were in church last week? Okay, more than this morning. Okay, about, say, 50, 60%. All right. I'm just going to play a little catch-up, if that's all right. Is that okay with everyone? Not all right? Okay. Sorry for those of you that weren't church last week. I repent. Those of you that weren't, I need you to be on the same page, if that's okay. We're doing a sermon series on authority. And we started last week, and we started with power. But before I can go there, we actually started with a sermon series. Tiens felt that we need to really address this fear thing that's still ministering amongst us. And he gave a sermon series, and it ended up being four sermons on fear. And out of that came amazing things. And if you're not on board and you're new here, just hold on. Hopefully something will make sense by the end. But like on a journey, we're going somewhere. And so if you're hopping on the train today, thank you for joining us. But we've been walking a bit of a road. So to try and get us a little bit on the same page, we spoke about fear. And then after fear, the Lord was speaking to us. And we said, we really need to speak about authority. I actually had another sermon series planned, something totally different. And the Lord led us to actually go full on into taking authority. And so last week, we spoke a little bit out of Timothy's life, and we spoke a bit about that our authority releases God's power. And so before we just keep on that slide, I'm just going to run. We spoke a little bit about Timothy, where Scripture says that we need to fan into flames a gift on our lives, that God has given us authority to trample on scorpions and snakes. And 1 Peter 4, we spoke about, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards. And then we also spoke out of Romans, where God's called us to rule in this life. And that's where I'm going to start this evening. And I'm going to jump into it. I've got way too much. I took way too long this morning because I've got so much happening and in my heart and in my spirit. So I'm going to try and keep on point, and that is one that's usually hard for me. We're looking at the scripture, and if we go to the next one, we're breaking it down, and we're going through 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, a very famous scripture. Now go one back. There we go. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power. And tonight, we're going to be looking at love. And next week, we're going to be looking at a sound mind. And so this evening, I'm going to be coming from the place of authority and love, okay? So what I'm hoping to do is not write off what you understand of the love of Christ, not at all. I'm hoping to add another side, add another light onto what is love, all right? Because it's a very peculiar statement, this. I've not been given a spirit of fear. Now we can go to the next one. I've not been given a spirit of timidity, of cowardness, but of a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of discipline or self-control. Why is love in there? When it comes to authority, when it comes to the opposite of being intimidated, why is love there? And I'd like to go into that tonight, if that's all right. And I'm going to show you a clip in 2 seconds, if we can prepare that clip so long. And then after that, we'll open up We'll open up in prayer. Father, we thank you this evening for your love. We come and submit our spirits and our hearts and our minds to you, and we pray that you remove the veils that keep us from stepping into the authority you have for us. I pray, Lord, this evening that something will happen in our spirits. Something will stand up inside of us. To want to walk in truth. No greater love as anyone than him who gives up his life. And Father, you gave up your only begotten child so that we may have life, and abundantly so. We ask this evening that we may walk in the abundance of Jesus Christ. Amen. I find this clip very fitting. The way we're looking at this analogy to the three parts is, as a triathlon has three parts, so this spirit that the Lord has for us has three parts. And last week we start with the swimming part, and this evening we're on the bike, we're cycling, and next week we'll be running. A son that was a paraplegic, as you saw, watched on TV. He said to his father one day, "Dad, I want to do an Ironman." And his father thought about it for a while and that clip that you saw is the result of a father that did a triathlon for his son so his son could experience a triathlon. Now Monique, I know the comrades was next level. We pick on Monique here. This is Love Monique Month. But can you imagine doing a comrades pushing someone in a wheelchair? Can you imagine swimming those 3 point whatever kilometers it is? 3.8? Thanks. 3.6? Thanks. So there between. Thanks, Dave. With a boat behind you pulling someone while you're participating the same race that everyone else is doing. Incredible feat. That speaks about love. And I know we all agree. And we're on that page. But there's another love, another part of love that I'd like to bring to the table, if that's all right. And I believe it's the same love. I believe it will point to the same thing. So let's jump in there. Romans 1 verse 16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the what? Of God for? Everyone who believes. For I'm not ashamed. I'm not shy. I'm not a coward. I don't fear. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power." Last week we spoke about power. It's the power of God for salvation. Does that not speak about the love of God right there? This verse is a sermon on its own. You can give a sermon series on this, just this verse. To everyone who believes. To the Jews first, and also to the South Africans. For those of you that are watching the Buster Douglas clip where he knocked out Mike Tyson from Tiense's sermon, this, for most of us, should be our why. Right here. This is that why moment. Why do I do it? Why am I a Christian? Why do I serve God? This is one of those wow moments, those why moments. beautiful way to start off in Scripture. I believe that this Scripture truly shows us love. It really is an example of love. So let's talk through love. So we're going to start in the well-known verse of Corinthians 13. And Corinthians 13 is one of those scriptures that makes absolute sense. It's just in the wrong place. Because when we read Corinthians 12, it's all about like power, the Holy Spirit. God is awesome. And love. Love. And then it goes on to 14. Holy Spirit. Absolute power, like crazy stuff. So why in the middle is the scripture right there? Let's read it together. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Oh, love bears all things, believes all, hopes all, endures all. Love never ends. And then verse 13. So now, faith, hope, and love. The most important of these is beautiful. Crazy, crazy. This is what it doesn't say. It does not say that love is apathetic. Agreed? Can we just go through some things that it doesn't say? It does not say love is apathetic. It does not say love minds its own business. It does not say allow all things. Okay, then you can say, Bernie, it says bears. I made the joke this morning. I'm not going to make the joke this evening because it's just going to show my age. And the chance is agreeing with me right there. Amen. Love bears. That bears speaks about suffering. It suffers all things. Okay? It doesn't say it allows all things. It says that you suffer the things. It does not imply not rebuking, not correcting, or not caring. Are you with me? Are we in agreement here? Amen. Let's move on. Has anyone here ever had a week of repentance? 2 weeks, a month of repentance. Okay, well, has anyone experienced a week of repentance? Now, I've just ended my week of repentance. So you've got to give me a lot of grace tonight. Okay? This week, it's really important that we that's on staff also get a lot of input. So I was silly enough to decide to join Dr. Corne Becker, for those of you that were last at Convergence, one of the speakers who's been speaking with us forever. He came for a week to come and open up scripture to us. And I decided, well, that should be a good challenge. I'm not the greatest teacher, and he's the absolute teacher. So, I already sit under Tien's. I've got enough teaching going on around me. But I thought I'll get a little bit more. I want to come back and impress Tien's with my great Greek knowledge from Dr. Becker. And Dr. Becker is the dean of Regent University, which is, I can't explain to you how big this is. It's a massive university, and they are the front runners of theology, and it's crazy what those guys are doing. It's amazing what God is doing in that university. And I can tell you that I just realized I have no idea about the Bible. And when Dr. Becker says he knows nothing about the Bible, then I get scared. Then I get worried. Then I get undone. And it was such an amazing experience to sit with someone that can open up the word for you, like in levels that you didn't know exist. Okay? You know, it's like seeing the car for the first time. You've been living, I don't know where. And then one day someone pulls a car, and it happens to be like a Lamborghini. Okay? And I was driving Lamborghini this week. It's crazy. It was awesome. And so I had to do a lot of repentance, but at the same time, I've really fallen in love again with the Word. Oh, the Word is beautiful. And I've got a new hero, a new favorite in the New Testament. So my favorite is Paul. Paul, if you, like, are you a charismatic? Yes. Do you love Paul? Yes. Then the two go hand in hand. Are you charismatic? Yes. Do you love Paul? Is he your favorite? No. Okay, you're not charismatic. So apparently I'm no more charismatic because I've fallen in love with John. And just hearing the man of John, and we don't have time to go through it. I had 2 days on John, just on John. And he's my new favorite. So let's go read a little bit from John. Beloved. Isn't it awesome? Hey? Hello? Beloved. Can you guys see me coming in on a Monday morning in the office and looking at Jules and saying, beloved? And Tian's coming around the corner with his coffee and I say, beloved. I don't see it yet, neither. But John's able to do this. This is how awesome he is. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Hold on. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Okay, all of you like staring at me. Think about what is written there. Put on that cap, Monday morning, accounting. Wind up that brain. What does that all imply? Quite a lot if you think of where the world is and what they describe love is. Go pray and think about that. We don't have time. Because God is love, not Hollywood. In this, the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. To be the propitiation for our sins. Christ took the wrath of God on himself so that we didn't have to. Isn't that an awesome picture of what love is? Christ came the sacrifice on our behalf. But it doesn't end there. Let's move on. Beloved. I'd be even freaked out to even call my own wife beloved. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides or dwells. Some of the scriptures say dwells. Some of the interpretations of the scripture. Dwells in us. And his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we dwell in him and him in us. Because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever that Christ is the Son of God. God dwells in him. Let's stop there. Confesses. When you are at work, do you confess Jesus? Do people know that you're a Christian? I'm challenged about this myself again. When people ask me, what do you do? It's one of those awkward conversations most of the time I'm not really interested in. You want to see a conversation stopper? So when people used to ask me at CrossFit, so what do? I'm like, I'm a pastor. Oh, okay. Look, it's a little box. Like, there's nowhere to go. And they're looking for a corner where they can get away from me now. This is going to go pear-shaped. This is weird. I mean, I'm in a gym here. Shouldn't be pastors around. Shouldn't be people in the ministry. What is this? Do we confess Christ? Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever dwells in love dwells in God and God dwells in him. There's a lot of dwelling. There's a scripture that says, when deep cries out to deep, the depth inside of us calls unto the depth of God. Those two can come together and can dwell. Beautiful. By this love perfected, by this is love perfected with us, so that we have, that we may have confidence, boldness for the day of judgment. Let's stop there. All this dwelling in love gives us what? Boldness. Let's use the red words. Boldness. Have you ever thought that love gives you boldness? Not a coochie coo, woo wee woo. It gives us boldness. Are you getting where we're going with this? Where we're going with authority? We need to have love because we need boldness. Boldness for what? For the day of judgment. Okay, this is going to get... Okay, I realize I've already offended all of you because I'm saying that love isn't what you thought it was completely. And I'm sorry about that, but I'm just going to bring it and go pray and ask God afterwards. But this is scripture. It gives us boldness for the day of judgment. There is no more scary day that you will ever face than the day of judgment. Now, I know we don't want to talk about that and we don't want to go there. What's going to keep us out of that fear, that absolute awe of God, we're going to be able to step before God in boldness because of the love. It's that spirit of adoption. That's my dad. We're going to go running up to dad. Boldness. So if it gives us boldness on the last day, the day, Judgment Day. How much more boldness should it not give us this side of eternity? Here now. If I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it gives me the boldness to move in the power of God for people's salvation. Unto salvation. I have this aunt. I've spoken about her before. She's got a biblical name. She's in the Bible. Auntie Phoebe. And Auntie Phoebe is one of those saints. If you remember the story, I've spoken about her before. She's just a saint. And if you think of the most saintly saint you know, multiply by 10. She's an intercessor. She's a worshiper. She started more NGOs than I know of. All for God. She's done amazing things. One lady. And she's married to Uncle Bruce. Now, Bruce is a New Zealander. And New Zealanders are different. And for Uncle Bruce, it's rands and cents. And you must see the two of them work together. With the one hand, Uncle Bruce takes in, and the other hand, Auntie Phoebe gives out. It's incredible. It's hilarious to watch. But they used to have a shop in Gqeberha, basic stationeries and stuff that they sold. They're well retired now. And because in those days, it's probably still the same today, cigarettes was a big, big money maker. So Uncle Bruce sold cigarettes. We need to make money. And Auntie Phoebe thought it was a brilliant place for ministry. And one day, this gentleman steps into their store, and I was told the story by my cousin. And he comes to buy his Rothmans or whatever he's smoking, his Camels, probably. He was quite a hardcore guy. And to give you the idea, if you were to take a newspaper and wet it, it would look like he'd been slapped by that newspaper. He was tattooed from top to toe. And now you laugh, we're in Cape Town. I'm not talking about Cape Town tattoos, okay? I am not talking about Michelangelo tattoo. You know those smart things these artistic. I'm talking about gangster in jail tattoos from head to toe. And this poor man, you got to feel sorry for him. All he came to do was buy himself a pack of cigarettes. That's all he wanted. And as he's grabbing the cigarettes, Auntie Phoebe grabs his arm and looks at him and ministers the entire gospel to him. Because she saw the opportunity and she confessed Christ. And she saw that this man is a man that God sent upon her path. And she's sure not going to miss this opportunity. When you're around Auntie Phoebe, you get the dwelling. And she dwells with God. And God dwells with her. I can't tell enough stories about that, but let's move on. I just want to make sure I got all my points there. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, torment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a what? A what? That's a hard scripture. I thought we were talking about love. Now we're calling people liars. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Why no fear? Because of the boldness. No fear because of the boldness. Our love today says the following. Leave alone. Don't go there. None of your business. We're buddies. So we don't have to talk about these things. When he's ready, he'll come talk to me about it. That's the love that we promote. If that's the way we love our brothers, I think We are moving towards liars. Stop. I'm not telling you to get the baseball bat, okay? Line up all those friends for the last 20 years. Now we're going to sort them out. Next week, we're going to be talking about self-control, okay? Discernment. When to, when not to. Remember? Sermon series. If you've missed the power, you're already behind. We're talking about the love. We need to start realizing that God's called us to speak truth to people in the right time. But we need to speak truth. We let so much slide. I'm challenged in this area, massively so. Like most, my bark is bigger than my bite. But we need to start loving one another, sitting each other down and saying, what's going on in your life? Corne Becker told the story of how a great ministry, and you'll know the ministry, so we're not going to mention the name here. This guy who's heading up this incredible ministry was busy sleeping with his girlfriend. Massive ministry in the States. No one went to go speak to him. So Corne Becker did. Because he loves God and he loves his brothers. The amount of stories he told of the amount of people, like, it's quite funny. He has the ability to offend everyone. He has offended the Pope. The Pope that's now Pope, he's offended him twice. God gives him that kind of audience. And he's not afraid to ask questions and speak truth. Can we be truthful here? Is that okay? Can we have a decent conversation? It's time that we start having decent conversations with one another and just start loving. Not covering. Is this another side to love? Is our perspective of love a little bit more? Awesome. Okay. So this is how Christ does deliverance. Okay, now, you know all those exorcism movies you watched? Okay? That's not how it works. You need to repent of those things. That stuff is just demonic. Okay. Now, when we think deliverance, we think that weird one old auntie in the church that we go to and they pray for us. And then something weird happens and you don't really want to go there because there's going to be a hectic manifestation. You know, you're going to do something random. And then there's going to be a bunch of demons that flee or something like that. Or so they've said, charismatics, they're weird. That has got almost nothing to do with deliverance. Probably actually nothing to do with deliverance. We do deliverance in love. It's all about love. Because we love someone. We want to see them set free. We want to see someone come from darkness into light. That's deliverance. That's all it is. I want to love someone out of darkness and I want to love them into the light. That is deliverance. We're doing Freedom Weekend. And for a lot of people, they look at me weird. So if you're old chauffeurite, whatever that is, chaufferian, what's the other names they call us? Weirdos. If you're one of those, people keep asking me, so this Freedom Weekend, is it like the Encounter 4? For those of you who have no idea what Encounter 4 is, the F4, whatever that is, the Foundation 4. Is it something like that? Because we think it's going to be, I don't know, spooky stuff. And I go like, no. But is it going to be deliverance? Yes. What kind of deliverance? We share testimonies. But how God has used us in the workplace. And that brings deliverance. Yes. Isn't that awesome? It's going to deliver us of the mindset that we have that we cannot minister at work. I believe that's deliverance. I don't know how to do it. It's not happening. Next thing is happening. So I've brought in people. And if you haven't, this is the last time I'm going to be able to advertise. So if you haven't written your name up, please join us. We're not doing this for ourselves. So many people keep asking me, I don't know what I'm called for. I don't know what my calling is. Do you live Christ in your workplace? I don't know. Okay. You called for, to start, living as a Christian, uncompromising in your workplace. 101. You don't need Bible school. I've just given you your first teaching. And let's take it from there. But how? Brilliant. I'll bring a few people. We'll talk about it. How's that sound? So we're going to worship the Lord on Wednesday night. And we're going to talk about it. And then Friday night, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to talk about it. And then Saturday morning, only the morning. Not the whole day. Just the morning. Little time. Small time. In course, mama, in course. Teta English from here on in, eh? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mama Sylvia. She's just explaining that my is wrong. There's so many of them. I'm still learning the first one, and there's three. Any case, let's move on. Deliverance. Bringing people from darkness into light. Living our testimony in the workplace. John. Of course I'm going to quote John. I'm going to quote John for the next 3 months. John 15. It's quite interesting that John speaks about love. Let me just tell you a little bit about John. Is that okay? Can I give you a little bit? Because I've learned a little something, something. So let me just teach you the little something, something I have. John was the youngest of the disciples. And have you seen Dan Brown's movie? What's the movie's name? The Da Vinci Code? No, not Angels and Demons. Da Vinci Code. Is it Da Vinci Code? The one where there's the picture of Christ at the Last Supper. And then they say the one is Mary. Is it Dan Brown that wrote the book? He didn't do his homework, okay? Because that was John. John didn't have a beard. He was young. It's the artist is representing that he's younger than the rest. Hence, no beard. Okay. Glad we could sort that out. I know you were asking all night that picture. I'm so confused. So that was John. And what we see in John's life is John and Peter have problems. Have you picked that up? You pick it up in the letter of the gospel of John. He says, that Peter. You know, that guy, that Peter. You know, when you say about that at someone at work, VA, die any. John calls himself the beloved. Isn't it awesome that when he writes these letters, he's calling other people beloved? He had a revelation. He got over himself. But he was at odds with Peter, and they believe that Peter was the oldest of all the disciples. And Peter couldn't do anything right. Peter was an absolute idiot. Okay? Peter did everything wrong. Can I prove it to you? Do you know that he was the worst fisherman that ever lived? In the whole of Scripture, he doesn't catch anything ever. Now, you think that's funny. Jews hate water. Did you know that? In those days, Jews didn't go near water. If you were the fisherman, you were the lowest of the low because you couldn't do anything else, so you went and fished. People, they did not go near water. Well, that explains to you why they were so petrified at any storm that happened on the water. Okay? Most Jews in the early days, in the days of Christ, could not swim. any case, so this Peter, he's just useless. He does everything wrong. And John enjoys pointing this out all the time. He even says, you know, so Jesus died, and they get the news and they run to the grave. Remember that? And what does it say? It says, and the beloved arrived at the grave first. That Peter. He outran Peter. And what an awesome revelation as we see John growing and finally writing Revelations of how his heart changes to really understand love. Nonetheless, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I ask you. Ask you, command you. Now, for most of us, this is the picture. Okay? You know that girl that you secretly like. Come on. You know that guy that you secretly like. And so it's not saying you're going to take that bullet for her and for eternity she's going to think about that day that you died for her, what a man you were, okay? That's part of it. But it's not only in death, but to live for someone. Are you with me? No greater love as anyone. If you live for someone, you give them your all. In this side of eternity, before you take that bullet for them. We see that in the life of Christ. Christ did not come to rule and reign and to be Lord and worshipped when he arrived on earth. He came to serve first. He gave up his lordship in that sense, and he came to serve. Peter, Jesus says, I must wash your feet if you want to participate. So Peter starts taking off all his clothes. Peter's off the time. Have you read any times Peter's naked in Scripture? Oh, my word. Did you know that? When was his boat? Again, he has to put on his clothes. What's wrong with this guy? Peter. He's fishing naked. Peter. Christ came to serve, and so we need to do what Christ does, and we need to serve others, our brothers and our sisters. We live in a time that we are so deceived and so moved away from what biblical truth is. And this is why I've been repenting all week. Because of many things that I believe is actually absolute heresies. Because of cultural understanding when I read into the Word of God. We need to go and read through the eyes of the men and women that read it in that day. We got to take out our culture and our understanding and our little teachings that we had as little kids with Jesus and weird trees and angels and trees and these things. We got to get rid of it. We got to ask God to come and show us, Lord, what is love? What is love? Can I ask you to be that irritating child that you hated so much in your classroom? Remember high school, there was always that one kid that said, why? 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 That was me, by the way. In my science class, I believe my science teacher was an atheist, but I made him backslide into a Christian. I would ask him so many times, why? Kid you not. And I wasn't trying to be upset, look. What's it in English? Intentional. I might have. I don't know. I can't remember. His answer in there would always be, because that's the way God made it. I got him to totally backslide. That man left the school when, by the time I left matric, believing in God. Why? That's how we need to start reading scripture. Why, Lord? Why do you say this? Who are you speaking to? What do you want from me? I've got some testimonies. I said I'll share testimonies, but I think I'm going to hold on to a few of my testimonies rather, if that's okay. For Friday night, I'll be speaking a little bit, and I'll give a few testimonies. I really want to get practical this weekend. And then next Sunday, hopefully, I'll give more testimonies. Christ says, and Jesus came and said to them, Matthew 28, all authority, remember we said this last week, in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make what? Of all nations. So last week we ended at the word go. This week we had disciples. Here's the thing. This is going to be hard. Many people come into churches and they ask the pastors, they ask the staff, they ask the people, are you about church growth? Is it about numbers? Do you hunt numbers? Let me answer that question. We are never about numbers. I'm not very good at maths. We're not about numbers. Are we about growth? You sure bet we are. If you like a small church, hold on. Go ask yourself if you have a problem with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus sure is about disciples and making disciples, multiplying. And if we're not, we have a problem with Jesus Christ. Why are you at your workplace? Why are you in this church? You're here to be discipled and then to start discipling. That's why we're here. It might not sound so glorious anymore. The vision God gave me for my life, you know, when you ask, Lord, I know I'm special. Show me how special I am for your gospel. Forgetting that my name's not written in the gospel. At least Peter's name was written in the gospel. The Lord chose, and the Lord's faithful, isn't he? So he shows me. And he shows me, I'm on a rock, straddled over a rock, and I take one guy's hand that's underneath me, and I'm pulling up beyond me. And he says to me, that's your calling. They will supersede you. Isn't that awesome? That's what I'm called to do. That's the heart of a father that wants his son to supersede him. If you want to be top dog, might be from the Lord. God had to come and kill that top dog inside of me. Kill it. Once it was dead, to kill it again. That thing has the ability to raise itself from the dead, eh? I've raised that thing from the dead so many times. And God is so faithful every time to kill it. It died in me this week, completely dead. I have the fear of the Lord when I pick up the Bible and I know I'm going to give a teaching before people. Fear of the Lord. So remember, the good news is that it gives you the ability to rule in life. We are called to rule and reign. getting back to authority. So we said last week, the object of intimidation is to restrain you from action, force you into submission. Intimidated believers relinquish their authority in the spirit by default. Though the gift is present, it lies inactive, dormant. It cannot operate. If the spirit of intimidation is ministering in your life, you will not be able to hear God. So, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. Self-control. He has given us, last week I said that these three virtues give us boldness, but love gives us the most boldness out of those three. If you want to have authority, you need to move in love. If you want to walk in deliverance, you need to walk in love, because it will give you the boldness when you need it. I had a situation, I'm going to give this one testimony. We were doing an SOS, so we do teachings, we call it SOS. I was doing a teaching at Rondebosch a few years ago, and I get a word of knowledge that there's someone there, that had an abortion. And something went wrong in the womb because of that. And I wasn't going to call this crowd of people, same effect as I'm seeing these faces now, almost out of, oh my goodness, and you start sort of looking around. And I wasn't going to embarrass the person, but I really felt at that moment there was an authority to bring healing. So I took it. I said, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. But I'm going to take authority. And I prayed in the authority of Jesus Christ. I commanded healing in a womb. And as I was praying, the Lord says to me, you're feeling it right now in your womb. You're feeling something shift. God is bringing that healing. And it wasn't only a healing in the natural. It was a healing in the physical. It was the healing in the spirit. It was a healing in the soul. I could feel it. I felt it like I can't explain it to you. And I knew this was happening. And afterwards, as we're packing up and stuff, this one girl comes. She says, up to me, and she says, that was me. And I felt as God healed me. And she was able to experience the power of God because of the love of God, because I took the boldness. And you die a million deaths because you could be totally wrong. I could have been totally wrong. I was still eating McDonald's those days. Could have been totally wrong. I took the boldness because I knew the love that God has for this girl. Wherever she is, I knew God had love for her. And I stood in that boldness and I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I took the authority that God had given me and the healing happened. I shared last week that I was working at an NGO, and this is, we'll be closing tonight. I know it's a long night. We started a bit late. Thank you for the grace. I was working at an NGO and in Kayamandi, Stellenbosch, running a high school program. And I'd handed in my resignation. I was about to leave. And we were in a trust center, and the trust center came to us and said, would we run the creche for them? Long story short, I went to my boss. I said to him, you don't have the capacity to run a creche as well. I'll run the creche. Okay, all of you should be like going, sure. Thank you, Arnel. Biggest mistake of my life. I know nothing about kids. Any case, so said yes to this job. And then later on, I found out The reason they wanted us to do the job was because they wanted us to fire the entire staff. Now I'm in a moral dilemma. Because now I'm following the law so that I can put, and you need to understand, it is hard to fire someone in South Africa. Virtually impossible. Okay. The NGO world is even harder. Imagine you go before whoever you need to go before, CCMA. We fired this person and we know they're not really earning a salary at all, and it's all because they love people and they really care, and it's because it's for the community, but they were just really bad at their job. So, sure. Huh? Okay, that was my job. Boy, did I pray. And I prayed and I seek God, and Matty and I, she was at the end, and we got married in the end of that, and you can ask her. I was undone in that job. I was undone. I died a million deaths every day. I'd stare at the computer screen for hours, just sitting there going, I'm undone. I know nothing about kids. I'm running this whole thing, and I've got to fire people. It's amazing how a blank screen can become your best friend. Did that for a year. End of the year came and it was celebration time, you know, when you leave and they celebrate you. Okay. So let me help you. Mama Sylvia. It was the mamas of Kayamandi. Ne? The mamas. And we're in this room with all these mamas and I'm thinking, ooh, hallelujah. This is going to go either very well or very pear. And what was interesting is the feedback I got from every mama was how much I cared, how much I loved. Now, for me, I was already bowled over because I was like, where did you see that? I had this one mama. Oh, she was my problem mama. Hey, Benny, you are a strange white man. Benny. Like that, my name's Benny. If you don't know, we lost the R somewhere. And she looked at me. I do not agree with everything you do here. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Dying a million deaths. The sweat. She was my most difficult mama. She says, she points a finger at me. Like, you know, in your face. And I'm like, hallelujah, Lord. Let me die. She says, you are the most humble man I have ever met. And that is hard for me because you are white. There was an experience of the love of Christ because I fought for them, every one of them. I did my utmost to ensure that they could continue working. I made sure they got the training they needed. I made sure they had after-hours curriculums. I did my utmost. My trustees did not love me. My boss did not love me. He did not even thank me when I left. He did not say goodbye. Nothing. The love of God empowers us to have boldness to stand up for truth when others won't. To fight for those who can't fight for themselves. It gives you that patience, and you need to understand I needed a lot of patience. Has anyone worked with kids? I know. You need patience. Let's stand. Can I call the band to the front? It's a simple prayer we're going to do tonight. And then we're going to do one song of worship and then we'll close off. We've gone over time. I thank you for indulging me tonight. We're going to ask the Lord to come and give us love that brings boldness. Do you know that when someone messes with someone's wife, have you seen how that man gets? Have you noticed how you'd make a man lose his salvation for 2 minutes? You say something stupid about his wife in front of him, and you see how that salvation drains out of him for a minute. And you see what steps into those eyes. There's a love that leads us to boldness. One last story. When I was very unsaved, I found myself one night surrounded by about 40 characters. And they were gonna climb into me. Lots of salt here in this story, okay? Take a pinch of salt. My one unsaved friend, biggest guy I know. I had big friends. Actually, the second biggest guy I know. He came in amongst that 40. And he said the following. Raak aan hom, en jy raak aan my. You've never seen 40 people run off like that. Love is a boldness, and sometimes we have to even see that in the world. How much more aren't we supposed to move in love and boldness? I'm not saying take out a baseball bat and go beat up people. Don't misinterpret. Let's close our eyes. Father, we come and ask you for the love that brings boldness in Jesus' name. Where we walk into boardrooms and have boldness to bring truth. When we know that that boss or that guy in that room, we know he's married, but we know he's flirting with every other girl in the office. We ask for boldness. When somebody's stealing at work and we know about it, we ask for boldness. We ask that we may love them and bring them to know Christ. We pray that we will be unashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God. As we worship in the song, can I ask that you just seek God in that place and let Him do what He needs to do? I believe there's a myriad of things that God needs to do tonight, and it's not one thing that God's doing in one person's life. It's a myriad of stuff. And allow the Lord to come and speak to you and explain to you and show you love and show you boldness and show you truth. Mm-hmm.